One of the great ironies of life is that the most powerful moments are almost always the most insignificant moments, and the most forgettable events often seem to be the most magnificent at the time. I mean, think about it. Can you recall, as quickly off the top of your head as possible, who played in the 2013 Super Bowl? This was 5 years ago. Anyone remember off the top of their heads? I know. Me neither. I had to look it up. Baltimore versus San Francisco. And as all Super Bowls are, this was a huge event, dominating the news for a couple of weeks, generating $480 million for the economy of New Orleans, where the game was played that January. And even more, the $2 million per minute television commercials that always accompany the spectacle of the Super Bowl impacted the nation's economy by $750 million. And we can't even remember who played the game. It's the same with movies. Best Picture 2013. Anybody know it? It was just 5 years ago. Wait for it. Argo, with Ben Affleck and George Clooney. I had to look that up too. By the way, it grossed $215 million that year, and who knows how much since on the on-demand profits that have come flowing in. Big events that seem so important at the time almost never remain part of us. And it's oddly enough the most insignificant moments in life that end up being the most powerful. Ravens, 49ers, Argo, oh, best album of last year's Grammys. Anyone? Some album by Bruno Mars. It was called 24K Magic. A huge album, apparently, generating $240 million in sales, and I've never even heard a track off of it. We never hold on to these seemingly huge events, and yet each one of us, I suspect, could probably remember by name someone 20 or 30 or even 40 years ago who did or said something kind to you. Someone who might not even realize it themselves made a life-changing difference for you. A teacher, maybe, who called out your moment of brilliance in a high school class because you were the one who solved the equation. Or a boss who, in front of the whole team, named you for your indispensable part in the success of a project. Or just a friend who told you at some lunch you had back in Chili's in 1996 that they couldn't have made it through college without your friendship and your support, and they will forever be grateful. These are little, big moments in life that are imprinted on our hearts such that we never forget them, and they don't generate anything for the economy or the tabloids or ESPN or Entertainment Weekly. This is what I kept coming back to as I read this story of the widow's mite all week. This classic gospel passage from Mark and the charming story that goes with it from the book of Kings, the story of the widow from Zarephath. They're stories as much about you as they are about these unnamed women. And the lesson for us is that the smallest, insignificant, seemingly unimpressive events in life often end up being the most profoundly meaningful. Our spiritual task is to wake up and see them as visits from God. It reminds me of the classic axiom attributed to the Greek philosopher Aristotle, who wrote, "The most valuable things in life are always the least useful." It's very useful to pay your electric bill or your lights are going to be shut off. It's very useful to get your oil changed or your engine will be damaged. It's very useful to wash the dishes or you won't have anything to eat your dinner on tomorrow. It's not very useful sitting out on the back deck with your best friend for a few hours on a Tuesday evening, just shooting the breeze, especially when there's so much that needs to be done to get ready for work or school the next day. But at the end of the day, sitting out on the back deck with your best friend, just hanging out, will be the most valuable thing you do that day. This is how it must be with us and God. Father Rollheiser calls this thinking small. The story of the widow's mite and the widow of Zarephath, they're stories about unnamed, unimportant, unremarkable widows who do very small things that carry significant meaning. Rollheiser explains that there's less and less these days that help us to see this. Our time in history wants us to concentrate on big things, big issues, big projects. And our time teaches us, interestingly enough, to be careless about little things. People ask themselves all the time, am I leaving my mark on the world? Will I have $2 million in the bank when I'm 70? Will I get that promotion in a year and then the next big promotion after that in three? My child, in the first grade, will she be ready for the Stanford entrance exam? I mean, it happens to me too. What parish am I going to be at in 10 years? And then what parish am I going to be at in 15 years? All the while, things like daily prayer and day-to-day friendships and giving a simple compliment, recognizing the satisfaction of sharing a meal with friends where we actually taste the food we eat and have a meaningful conversation, sitting at Mass for an hour and 20 minutes without worrying about what needs to get done before Monday morning. Our time in history wants us to see these simple moments as a waste of time over and against the big issues of life. The woman sitting opposite the treasury that day in the temple, she was the biggest donor to the project of the temple because she understood the power of little things. She gave not from her excess. Her small gift was everything she had, and as such, ended up being the biggest gift that day in the temple. I've been a priest going on 12 years now, and I think I've been able to get a lot of really big things done in my priesthood already. Just here in St. Louis, I was walking around the other day. We've gotten a lot of big things done in just 4 years. We've renovated the old rectory into magnificent new offices. We've built a new rectory that's going to be the rectory for the next 50 years. We've cleaned up Wozniak Hall and redid all the bathrooms and the classrooms over there. We're finishing the renovation of the kitchen now so that our school will have a fresh new cafeteria as we prepare to gut and renovate the original church into an amazing new library and media center. We resurfaced the parking lot, put new tables and chairs and WAS, installed brand new windows in the primary building of the school. We're about to jump into a capital campaign to build a new parish hall that will take us to 2075. These are big projects that are important. But as wonderful as they are, they're not as wonderful as the nameless person who comes into the confessional for the first time in 20 years, nervously bearing their soul to God and offering up the most profound sigh of relief when they hear that God forgives them and that they are good. That's a big deal for someone. the great things that we've done and the great things that we will do together will never be as great as Mark Bulchin and Joe St. Clair making a St. Vincent de Paul visit to someone off Runberg who just needs $75 to keep the lights on this month. And because of that one visit on a Wednesday night from Mark and Joe, will end up getting his family back on track, never needing to call St. Vincent de Paul again. That's a big deal for that person. The great things that we've done and that we will do together moving forward aren't as great as the family that I visited with in the narthex Wednesday night, who were just trying to get to San Antonio and wouldn't have eaten dinner if it weren't for Robin Evans, who stocks our emergency supplies duffel in the ministry's room every Monday morning, complete with Ziploc care bags filled with essentials and a couple of $10 Sonic cards. It's just an athletic bag in the closet with our daily mass vestments, and it was no big deal for me to give them some help that night. But for them, it was a real big deal. It was the most important thing that happened that day at St. Louis. This is the message of the two widows in our two stories today. And it's God's message for you and me every day. Husbands and wives, children and parents, friends and co-workers, parishioners, pastors and non-parishioners, what we think are insignificant things, a compliment to someone, apologizing to someone that you need to apologize to, accepting apology from someone who needs to apologize to you, 2 minutes of silent prayer on the way to work, one random act of charity a week that costs you almost nothing, can actually be the difference a person needs to get back on track for the rest of their life. These simple moments can actually end up making the difference in not only someone else's life, but your life too. It would be really sad if we lived our whole lives confusing the little things that are the most important with the big things that end up so easily forgotten. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.